Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Close Up Talk Radio, the unique internet broadcast series that brings you together with some of the most amazing, important, and interesting individuals from the worlds of business, industry, travel, art, and entertainment. From company owners, CEOs, and presidents, to the technical wizards behind the scenes who create the magic that make their company's products and services so special. Here is your opportunity to hear firsthand the fascinating stories of how it all happened from those who actually made it possible. This is Close Up Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. We welcome you back to CUTV News Radio. Nice to have you back with us. I'm Doug Llewellyn, your host, and we're going to focus on the subject of consulting. We have a very specific kind of consultant with us today, and I think you're going to find this really very, very interesting, to say the least. Let me just get into this by telling you that faith is a very personal thing to every one of us, as you know, but an essential part of all faiths is that God calls us into a community. As the leader of a faith community, it's no longer enough to provide a message that is meaningful. There's so much competition for the minds, the hearts, and the time of people these days that faith leaders have to create a compelling reason for their community to be at worship instead of sleeping in. Now, more than ever, their message has to be engaging, it has to be relevant, and it has to be fascinating in order to hold the attention of the congregation and to attract new members into that congregation. Our guest today, Pastor Kathleen Panning, has served as a Lutheran pastor for nearly 40 years, and today she is the founder of a consulting firm, a ministry consulting firm. And the name is rather unique, to say the least, and we'll get her to explain this. It's called Aflame Ministry Consulting. And this is where she works with pastors, with priests, rabbis, and leaders of all faiths and denominations to break through the distractions and the conflicts that are facing faith communities. There's a lot of competition for time. You all well know that. And unless a faith community has something really unique of value, they become a commodity and they are easily replaceable, says Reverend or Pastor Kathleen Panning. There remains a deep hunger to connect. We're not just doing it in a way that really satisfies that hunger. And according to Pastor Panning, we haven't placed the same value on community that we used to. If you go to church or temple every weekend, you want to see a lot of people there, but we've retreated into our homes to sit in front of our computers or TV sets or stare at our phones. So how can we learn to communicate in more fascinating ways? This is one of the real challenges that Reverend Panning, or Pastor Panning, deals with. She has discovered Sally Hogstead's work on fascination as a Fascinate certified advisor. She takes her clients through the how-to Fascinate assessment to determine their God-given gifts of fascination so they can be even more effective in their communication and their leadership styles. She says that she tends to try things that are a little outside the box. She's most grateful for taking the chance and the risk of stepping out into something that's really unique. Panning, by the way, is the first and currently only clergy person certified to use this scientifically proven material to help faith leaders cut through the distractions of today's world. This really is a fascinating subject, and it's not just faith communities. I mean, churches of all sizes are having some of the same kinds of problems. So this is a really worthwhile subject to talk about. It's a real delight and a pleasure and an honor to have our guest, Pastor Kathleen Panning. She's based in Leesville, South Carolina, which is in the Columbia, South Carolina area. And again, her practice is called Aflame Ministry Consulting. Kathleen Panning, Pastor Kathleen, nice to have you with us. How are you today?
I'm just fine, and it's an honor and a privilege to be here with you, Doug.
Do me a favor. First, I have to ask you where you got the name for your consulting firm, Aflame Ministry Consulting. In fact, your website is the same name. It's Aflame Ministry Consulting. And when you look at the website, it's aflame with flames. Tell me how you came up with that concept.
Well, the idea came in that I want to get some renewed fire going, so to speak, within the faith communities, and so that people the word, the spirit is inspires or inspirits us to be alive, so that we are alive with God's love and can share that with other people. And so to be on fire with the fire of God's love is kind of the idea behind it.
Well, it works. That's very good. But I had to ask you that. You know, names of names. Yeah, no, it's a great subject. I'm talking about faith communities here, and we're talking about that. I really would like you to define that for our listeners. What do you mean when you say faith community? What is a faith community?
Well, traditionally, a faith community is seen as probably a church, an organized church, synagogue. Something on that order. But today, faith communities can be a gathering of people in a house, like a house church, which is what a Christian community at least started out as a couple thousand years ago. And it can be a gathering of people who come together with the same belief system is, in its broadest sense, a faith community. But for me, it's somebody who come, a group of people who come together with their belief in God, and for me, it means also a God who is basically loving and caring for us and wants the best for us and for all people. And so to come together in groups, large or small, can be a handful of people to several thousand. It can be an organized religion or denomination or something that's maybe you know, just starting out with a handful of people.
Okay. So a faith community could be, you know, it could be a group of 10 to 15 people. It doesn't have to be a big church with lots and lots of people. We're talking about smaller faith community organizations or communities. I would assume, you know, a Presbyterian church or an Episcopal church or Baptist church, whatever, that has hundreds of parishioners that go to it, you would not consider that a faith community, or would you?
Oh, yes, that's definitely a faith community.
Okay, all right.
Any organized religion would be a faith community, and each individual congregation or temple or synagogue is a faith community as well. So I'm giving it a pretty broad range spectrum here, but yes, any traditional denomination within the Christianity is a faith community, a Jewish synagogue, temple, Muslim, Islamic mosque would be a faith community. Any of those would qualify.
Okay, then. Well, we'll take the size out of it. People, if it's a group of people who are there to celebrate their faith, then it's a faith community. Now, if you look at your website, which is a very effective website, the first question hits you there: are you frustrated that soccer games and the weather are leading to more and more empty pews? Do you look at your faith community's financial statements and wonder, hey, are we going to make it? And are there more alligators than ever keeping you up at night? That's a good question too. We'll get an explanation on that. But what I think you're pointing out here is that a lot of faith communities are finding it harder than ever to keep people coming to the community's gatherings and meetings and services. Is that right?
That is very true. Most of the traditional Christian denominations, in fact, have declining membership. And that's been going on for quite a number of years. And it's because, back in the 50s and 60s, even churches, synagogues, those were the center of a community and the center of people's lives in smaller communities and larger ones. That's no longer the case. We have so many more opportunities. We're very mobile as far as where we can go and when we can be there. And there is so much competition for time. It used to be that Sunday mornings, nothing else happened except the opportunity for people to gather for worship. That's no longer true for sure. And so people have so many more choices. Choices are typically a good thing, but that also means that as faith communities, we have to have a reason for people to be there and a community that brings value to them and fills some hunger that they have.
Well, I certainly can understand that. And I'm wondering now, I think you are in a rather unique position. I mean, for 40 years, you've been a pastor yourself, as a Lutheran pastor for almost 40 years. You've been through this. I'm sure you've seen this, in your own churches. I guess my real point is, it seems to me you are unique. Are there many consultants like you that are available to help other faith communities try and get, their communities go up and going again and attracting more people? Or do you think you're one of the rare ones?
Well, there certainly aren't a huge number. There are groups that work with congregations within the Christian community, at least, on fundraising type things. Stewardship campaigns is what they're often called. So there are companies that do that kind of thing. But what I offer with the Fascinate material is definitely unique.
Well, let's talk about exactly what you do. Who do you do this for? I guess you were brought in by specific faith communities who are having problems getting people come to their gatherings, right?
Well, I can work with individual faith leaders, pastors, priests, rabbis, and et cetera,
okay.
Help them understand their own gifts of fascination, and we all have them, by the way, and how to use that better in their ministry. But I could also work with the particular faith community, like maybe the leadership board or a staff. If there's more people, even volunteer staff, like people who play musical instruments, janitors, secretarial staff, whatever, to work with them to see how they can work together more effectively as a team, and to do that for the sake of their ministry and their mission.
So I didn't mean to say so. It bothers me every time I do that. But anyway, what I was going to ask you is, how do you work with these organizations? When you come in and they bring you in as a consultant, what happens?
Well, there's a couple of ways I can do that with a group or a person. One of them is to take them through the How to Fascinate or the Fascinate Advantage Assessment, which is correct term for it, and so that they first know what their fascination advantages are, their primary and their secondary ones, and then to work with them to say, okay, what does this mean, and how in the world do you use this in ministry? How do you use this to work together and to value each person in your community? And even it can be used to do personal branding or to do kind of a branding of your faith community, to let people know, hey, this is who we are, this is what's unique about us, and so that we're not just, the vanilla flavor of every little church or faith community down the street. We're pistachio or, salted caramel type flavor, whatever it is you want to think of, what makes you unique in that, and how do you add value in what you do because of the gifts that God has given to you or as your community? How do you add unique value in that sense?
The various techniques that you use to introduce or, to get people to come. By the way, I mentioned before, you have on your website, are there more alligators than ever keeping you up at night? What is an alligator? What do you mean by that?
That's not a term that I started, so it's not unique to me, but an alligator has been used within the Christian community to sometimes refer to members who are a little bit difficult at times, so to speak. They kind of, let's see, how can I say this without sounding really negative, but they have a personality that kind of grates on others. They might be very demanding. They may be the kind of people who others find difficult to get along with. And so these are, as a faith leader, as a pastor, I've had to think about, okay, how do I get along with this person? How do we work them in? How do we find the right place for them? Or how do we ask them to maybe not do something at a certain time? So those are the some ways in which alligators show up.
That's funny. I assumed that alligators were members of the community who just didn't show up to community, you know, to church services except on major events, maybe like, you know, Christmas or Thanksgiving or something like that. But what you're talking about is a little bit different.
Yeah.
All right. So you give the pastors, you give the community who, I assume basically what these communities that come to you for help are looking for is how to attract more members and how to keep the members to continue to come and to continue to help, you know, make their donations so that the community can pay its bills. That's, in a nutshell, that's really what it's all about, isn't it?
Well, yes, it's to get people who are interested in what that particular unique congregation or community has to offer, and then be involved in that ministry, whatever form that's taking. And yes, it's good to have them contribute as well to help pay those bills, because churches, faith communities do have bills as well as any other business would. And so yes, it's all of that, but it's also to spread the bigger message about God's love, to live that and know how to live that within their own homes and within the community at large.
Okay. So would you give me an idea of the kinds of things you do, how you help these leaders who've come to you for your advice and your consulting?
Well, the first thing is to go through that Fascinate Advantage assessment and then find out which of those seven advantages are their primary and their secondary, and talk about that as far as if there are seven of them, which are might be good for you to know what they are. It's innovation, passion, power, prestige, trust, mystique, and alert are those seven advantages that Sally Hogshead has, as she describes them. And we each have all seven of them, but two of them are kind of our dominant. It's kind of like you're right-handed or left-handed for most people. And so which are the ones that are strongest for you, which are the ones that are easiest and most likely for you to be using at any given time, and that those are your God-given gifts of fascination. Because when we use those appropriately, people can find us fascinating. And we can, it's kind of like we're being a magnet. It's how other people see us. You know, there are a lot of personality assessments out there. Myers-Briggs, DISC, StrengthsFinders are well known. They're very good assessments. They're based on psychology. This assessment is the only one that's based on a communication algorithm, and it helps us understand how other people see us as fascinating. The other assessments help us understand how we see the world. The Fascinate assessment is how the world sees us. So it's the opposite perspective, so to speak. And so when we know how other people see us as fascinating, you can utilize those gifts for the sake of the message and the ministry that you're involved in. And you can also begin to see, when you understand this assessment and the seven advantages, when somebody else is strong in one and using that, and then know a little bit better how to interact with them so that you're kind of talking the same language, so to speak, as far as the fascination advantages, and work together in ways that are more collaborative instead of competing with somebody, or instead of seeing their particular gift as something wrong or bad. And so it can have a lot of different ways of interacting to understand what those advantages are, your own, and to appreciate and value the gifts that other people bring. So go ahead.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I was going to say, I gather you have to go to where your clients are to meet with them, and I would presume it helps if you know more about the you know, the organization itself, and you got to get to learn to know the people. So do you go to them?
I can.
Am I right on that?
You can? It can also be done virtually through the Internet. So if there's somebody listening, you know, way on the other side of country or the other side of the world, yes, we can do this. You know, with the wonderful technology on the Internet, we can still have a video conferencing available for doing that. That's another advantage of today's technology that we can utilize for this.
It sure is. That's for sure.
Having going in-house is a wonderful advantage. And I can do this, you know, like I say, one-on-one or in a half-day or a full-day workshop with a group of people, too.
So. And I gather you have a number of different kinds of programs that that you offer. Is that
correct?
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Describe one or two of them or a couple of them. You know, give me some examples of what they're like.
Well, the one that I'm talking about, I in my website, it's under the tab of Faithful Fascination. It's using primarily getting to know the fascination advantages and how to utilize those in your ministry. And there's some one-on-one consulting with that and even the possibility of doing some personal branding for oneself or a faith community on that. I mentioned the workshops. Can do a half-day or a full-day workshop with a group of people talking about the fascination advantages. I do something with talking about how to tame the alligators, how to work with people or events where there's conflict or things that aren't working quite well together. And and basically bringing in those fascination advantages to understand people and oneself, and then how to work through those differences and disagreements with that material as well. And then team building is another one that's in there, working with the fascination advantages to work on how to get your ministry team or leadership team in the community to work together most effectively for the sake of your ministry. And I also do a mastermind group for female pastors and faith leaders. So those are basically what I'm offering right now.
So is the program for female pastors much different from the one for male pastors? That's kind of interesting, you know?
Well, it wouldn't necessarily be, except that there are some things that women in ministry face that are not necessarily issues that men in ministry face, like the struggles with, you know, if you want to start a family, that creates some other problems for women in ministry. And not all faith communities are willing to allow a woman to have some maternity leave, post-baby time, and things like that. So there's still some issues about discrimination of women in ministry, or challenges, shall I say, facing that are a little bit more unique for women.
That's very interesting. I also find it interesting that you are willing to work with, and you work with so many different denominations. It could be Christian, Jewish, Muslim, as you mentioned, Buddhist. Do you find that your programs work equally well with whatever denomination you might be working with, or whatever kind of religion it is?
There's no reason why this material can't. Actually, it was developed by Sally Hogshead to be used by people in their businesses, individuals and small businesses. And so it can go across lines in businesses. And last I heard, she said over 1 million people have taken the assessment by now. And in all kinds of different businesses around the world even. And so it's based on people and more than the actual religious beliefs of the community, and learning how to work together as people. And people of faith, yes, but, appreciating one another and who God created us to be. And that's true in any religion, any faith community.
You know, I'm prompted to ask you if you could give me some examples. I guess a success story would be a better way to put it, of some organization that you worked with, and that, you know, things improved with them after a while of working with you and helping to improve their situation. Do you have any kind of specific story you could pass along? Would that be fair?
Well, I won't talk about an organization, but I will talk about an individual. Okay.
Okay.
One of the things I've done over the last 16 years or so of my ministry is work with some theology students. There's a seminary in Columbia, and one of the requirements is that those students in their first 2 years work in a local congregation to get some hands-on experience in ministry. And I've been a supervisor for students for most of the past 16 years. And one in particular is a woman who is second career, older than most of her classmates when she started in seminary, and had some real questions and real struggles about really, you know, was this for her? Was this something that God was really calling her to do, to be a pastor? And so through using the How to Fascinate material and a lot of coaching and counseling, she has finished seminary and is now a pastor in a congregation and having a wonderful time doing that. And she had some real gifts to give in ministry, but didn't always see those as far as, you know, yeah, she knew she was good at some things, but how other people saw her and the gifts that other people saw that she could bring into her ministry. And that opened up some new avenues and some new possibilities for her in appreciating herself and how to relate to people.
Well, that's a good story to tell. That's very good. I can also assume that you, as a pastor of your own church, as you said, you were 40 years as the founder of a Lutheran pastor. You experienced many of these challenges yourself during your time doing that, right?
Oh yeah. Unfortunately, I didn't have this material until after I retired, but that's partly why I'm passionate about bringing it in for others so that they don't have to wait for years and years and years and can get their hands on this and start using the benefits that are there.
And are you hearing from, you know, from different kinds of faith organizations all over the country about the contributions you can make to help them out? I guess it's word of mouth gets around, right?
Right. Actually, this kind of radio show is helping me to get that word out so that people know more about it, because it's still the How to Fascinate material is still not, you know, universally known, and that there's somebody within the faith realm who's using this is not well known yet. So thanks to this kind of an interview, that word is getting spread.
Well, that's good. That's exactly what we intend to do. Well, I told you, you know, you were going to be surprised that when we've run out of time. We've gone almost through the total half hour right now. I want to thank you, Pastor Kathleen Panning, for being with us. By the way, Pastor Panning is going to be back with us here on CUTV News Radio again next week at this same time, January 17th. At 3 p.m. Eastern Time. So we'll continue this discussion. You'll be with Jim Masters next week, and that'll be great too. So I want to thank you so much for being with us. Our guest has been Pastor Kathleen Panning. She's based in Leesville, South Carolina, which is really almost a suburb of Columbia, South Carolina, in that area. And she has a fabulous website. The music's a little loud there. The ministry website is aflameministryconsulting.com, aflameministryconsulting.com. So if you go there, you'll find out more information about Reverend Panning's services and how to get in touch with her direct. So I would encourage you to do that. Kathleen, thank you so much. It's been a delight having you with us today, and we look forward to your return to these microphones next week. Okay?
Thank you so much, Doug. It's been my pleasure.
You are very welcome. And that's it for this edition of CUTV News Radio, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. See you next time. Have a great day and take care of yourself. Bye for now.